If you think about hunger and thirst, it implies you're lacking something, implies that you need something. If you haven't had lunch yet today, and that's something you're going to do after our worship, your stomach may be growling. The person next to you might be able to hear that it's growling. You need food. You need to satisfy your hunger. If you're dehydrated, you need something to drink. But we all know that hunger and thirst, it's not just only a physical need. We know that it goes far deeper than that. We hunger and thirst for other things like wealth. We want more wealth. We can hunger and thirst after something like that. We hunger and thirst after recognition. We want to be recognized, whether it's at church, whether it's at home, whether it's at work. We want to be recognized. We hunger and thirst for things like love and respect. When we're lacking, when we feel like we're lacking it throughout the week or during the day, we hunger and thirst for love and respect. And I'm coming to realize with our first kid is that with children, you hunger and thirst for uninterrupted rest. You want to just be able to rest for a good solid 30 minutes, an hour, however long. But you hunger and thirst after things even like rest. We all hunger and thirst for something, and it's something that's perpetual. It's perpetual because it's not one and done, right? Our hunger and thirst for things, it's not one and done, but it's something that we have to come back to. You can't just eat one big all-you-can-eat meal at the beginning of the week and expect for it to last for the next 5 days. No, but you have to eat, and you have to eat every single day. We can see that with some of these other things, that you don't just have a bit of wealth one day and you're satisfied. You want more. When you go on vacation, it's not one and done, but you want to go on another vacation. You plan for another vacation. It can also be perpetual because you look in the wrong places. You're hungering and thirsting for something, and you're looking in the wrong places. Before I had a smartphone, I had a Garmin GPS, you know, in the car that you just buy. And it was bad because it was outdated for like maybe 2 or 3 years. So, I mean, if you've used one of those before, you need updated maps for those things to be useful. But I remember one day being really thirsty, wanting something to drink, and I was looking for a Starbucks. I love coffee. I was looking for an iced coffee on that day. And I remember punching it in, and it took me, I think I drove like 5-10 minutes, but it took me to this random plaza that was empty. I think it had some other stores, but there was no Starbucks. I remember being so disappointed and so angry. We can look in the wrong places when we're sometimes hungering and thirsting for things. We're always hungering and thirsting. It's perpetual also because even after we find something, it can be dissatisfying. Even after we find what we're looking for, it can be dissatisfying. Couldn't help but think about the song that Rolling Stones wrote, about how I try and I try, but I can't find no satisfaction. I was really tempted to sing that for you guys this afternoon, but I had to force myself not to. Our hunger and thirst, it can even be perpetual, because even if you find something and it is satisfying, you want more of it. And so we can see that our hunger and thirst for things, it's something that doesn't just leave us. And especially as we look at our text, even if you find something good, even if you find something satisfying, you're going to want more of it. Perhaps you're here and you are hungry and thirsty for something. Maybe you're not sure what it is and you're trying to figure that out. Maybe you're here and you're hungry and thirsty and you're currently searching for that satisfaction. Maybe you're searching for your thirst for something to be quenched. Maybe you're here because you've hungered and thirsted for something and you've been dissatisfied. Maybe you've been disappointed in trying to satisfy your hunger and thirst. And God's word for us today says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And children, that's your first point. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's the proper shape of our hunger and thirst. We're going to be going into Matthew 6 a little bit later on in our series, but if you remember the section where it talks about how you're anxious because you're wondering what to eat, you're anxious because you're wondering what to drink or what to wear, and it's getting at some of the earthly kind of anxieties that we experience. What's the prescription for that anxiety? Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's interesting how for God, our primary hunger and thirst, sometimes contrary to our experiences, contrary to our own thoughts, he says, hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does this mean? What does it mean for us to hunger and thirst for righteousness? I think we need to first define how we need to understand righteousness. We need to define what righteousness means. And there's different layers. There's different layers, but there's different ways we can understand this. To have righteousness, it means doing what's right. On a very general term, doing what's right. But you know, doing what's right can be also subjective and arbitrary, right? It can be whatever's right for you is what I need to hunger and thirst after. But no, what the Bible is saying is hunger and thirst after our righteousness, doing what God requires. Doing what God says is right. And so if you think about righteousness in those terms, righteousness also means being accepted by God, being right, if you will, being right with God. We can also think about righteousness in another way. It's the absence of sin. It's being freed from the power and presence of sin in your life. And I think the stark reality that kind of faces us as we think about that definition of righteousness is the fact that we don't have it. We don't have the righteousness that God requires. We don't do always the right things. Because of sin, we're not right with God. If you think, children, about how we don't have righteousness, we don't always obey our parents, right? We can easily say mean things to our siblings, or maybe even to our parents. Maybe we even think those thoughts. I remember after getting punished, you know, by my dad when I was younger, I'd be in the closet facing his room and, you know, thinking all sorts of nasty things, directing it at my parents. You don't have righteousness as a kid. You don't have righteousness as an adult. It's something that we don't have. It's something that we need. Consider how the Beatitudes, what it's been focusing on so far. It says that we are people who are poor in spirit because of our sins. We're people who mourn over our sins and the sins of others. And last week we talked about being meek, being humble and gentle towards others. Why? Because of the awareness of our own sins. And so even the Beatitudes, as it's progressing, it's almost assuming now as we hunger and thirst for righteousness that we don't have it. We need to be hungry and thirsty for it. And so if we understand righteousness in these ways, to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, it means that if you're not a Christian, you're hungering and thirsting to be accepted by God. You're recognizing that need, and you're hungry and thirsty to be accepted, to be made right with God. You're taking your relationship with God seriously. And even for those who are Christian, hungering and thirsting after righteousness means hungering and thirsting to obey what God desires. Hungering and thirsting to do what God requires, and doing that joyfully. It's a desire to be set free from the power and presence of sin. It's a desire that wants to be freed from addictions in your life. It's a desire that wants to love others instead of hating others or resenting others. It's a desire to be freed from unjust anger that might just explode during the week. It's a desire to be freed from anxiety and worries that you experience when certain things enter your life. But the proper shape, what God is saying, especially for those who belong to God's kingdom, especially not only for those people, but even if you're not a Christian, something that's primary, foundational, and basic is that we need a hunger and thirst for righteousness. This afternoon, what I wanted to focus a little bit more time on is how this hunger and thirst is satisfied. I don't want you to get too excited. We're on our third point already, and it's only 1:40. but we're going to be focusing the majority of our time on this, about how is this hunger and thirst satisfied. There's always a temptation to look for this in yourself. The culture sends this message all the time. Become the person you want to see yourself to be. Unleash the potential that's already in you. You just have to set the right goals, have the right motivation, have the right perspective. Check out and buy some of these self-help books, these principles that will help you attain this righteousness that you want. But friends, you don't find satisfaction that way. You can't find satisfaction that way. It'll leave you tired. It'll leave you frustrated. It'll leave you angry at yourself and other people and the world. You'll easily become cynical. And this hunger and thirst for things, it'll slowly start killing you from the inside. Notice what it says in our verse. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Does it say, for they shall satisfy themselves? No. It says in our verse that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It's not about satisfying yourself, but it's in the passive sense, that you shall be satisfied. Someone else is doing the satisfying. And what Scripture teaches us is that you have to turn to Jesus, and Jesus is the one who satisfies. We have to turn to God, and God is the one who satisfies our hunger and thirst. We need to look for the solution outside of ourselves. And that's the third point, children, that Jesus satisfies our hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want you to consider the things that he says in different parts of Scripture. In John 6:35, he speaks to the crowd and says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus satisfies those who come to him. Jesus satisfies those people who believe in him. Think about what he says to the Samaritan woman in John 4. Jesus says to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. These are promises that Jesus is making and how he is satisfying those who come to him and believe in him. Think about even the miracle of feeding the 5,000 to 4,000. And that's only the men. We think that he probably fed close to 10, 12,000 people on those days. But what it says in Matthew 14:21 is that they all ate. Remember, they only had, you know, some baskets of bread and some fish. Not nearly enough. It was impossible to feed 10, 12,000 people. But it says that they all ate and were satisfied. And it says, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And so if you think about Jesus satisfying our hunger and thirst, he does so abundantly. It's not just barely so we come back for more. But he does so abundantly every single time we come to him. I want us to talk about a little bit about how Jesus satisfies our hunger and thirst a little bit more specifically, and he does it in two ways. We're satisfied by receiving his righteousness. If you think about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, if you think about how you are not right with God and you want to be made right with God, how is that hunger and thirst satisfied? You don't find that satisfaction within yourself about what you do, but something you receive from God. You receive Christ's righteousness. It says in Romans 3 that this righteousness, it's something apart from the law. It's not something that you can achieve or attain on your own. It's something that you have to receive from God. A little bit later on in Romans 5, it says that it's the gift, a free gift of righteousness. And the only requirement to receive this gift is faith. Children, we receive Christ's righteousness through faith. Something that's so important for us to realize as we hunger and thirst for righteousness is that this righteousness, our righteousness, never exists apart from Christ's righteousness. It never exists apart from the righteousness you receive from God as a free gift, a gift received through faith. It's only through this gift, it's only through Christ's righteousness that you're made right with God. It's only through the righteousness that you receive from God that you're accepted by God, that you're set free from the power of sin, where it frees you to obey God without fear of condemnation. But secondly, we're satisfied by also receiving his Spirit. It's not only about receiving his righteousness, but we also receive his Spirit. Our pursuit, and this is important, because our pursuit, our hunger and thirst for righteousness, that pursuit is never apart from the Holy Spirit. It's never apart from the Holy Spirit. This righteousness that we're hungering and thirsting after, this righteousness that we need to see more and more in our lives, it's something that Spirit produced. And that's the gospel. And that's grace. A lot of what we want to see in our lives, we want to see it, but we don't see it. We do the things that we don't want to do. We don't do the things that we want to do. How do we see change in our lives? You think about this righteousness, and the Bible says that it's something that the Spirit produces. The Spirit sets us free from the presence of sin. The Holy Spirit, as he dwells in us, sets us free from the presence of sin. It's a process that takes a lifetime, but it's a process that happens for sure. It will one day be completed. The hope that we can have because we've received his Spirit is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, that we don't lose heart because we've received his righteousness, because we've received his Spirit. It says we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. It's being renewed day by day. What is this renewal that's happening? What's this renewal that the Spirit is doing? He's changing our minds so that we think God's thoughts after him. He's changing our hearts and desires so that we want to obey, so that we're able even to obey what God requires of us. You think about something like obedience, and I think it's so easy for anyone that's in Christ, anyone who's believed in Christ, to almost write it off, to almost think, you know, my obedience, it doesn't matter, it's all about Christ's obedience. And we somehow write off obedience as if it's not applicable to a Christian. Obedience as a means of salvation, that's legalism. That's something that we don't believe in. But obedience in response to grace, obedience in response to the gospel, obedience in response to Jesus, that's a demonstration of love. Grace doesn't make obedience obsolete. Grace makes obedience a joy. Grace makes obedience a joy. It doesn't make it obsolete. And children, the Spirit makes it possible and a joy to obey and please God. If we think about the implications of this verse, of what we're thinking and hearing about what righteousness is, about how we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness, how we do so as we receive Jesus' righteousness, as we receive his Spirit. It's something that we receive and be satisfied, but it's something that we continue to pursue. I think that's a challenge and an exhortation that we need to really take to heart. If you think about what verse 6 is saying, it's saying, yes, you will be satisfied by Jesus. That's a guarantee. But it says hunger and thirst for righteousness still. It's not where we become complacent. It's not where we become passive and kind of let God do everything. But no, we're still hungering and thirsting for more of it. A Christian is one who is always hungering and thirsting after righteousness. A Christian, having received Jesus' righteousness, is always hungering and thirsting to see God face to face, to be in his presence. A Christian, having received the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is always hungering and thirsting to be conformed more and more to the image of Christ. Is hungering and thirsting more and more every single day to have their minds renewed to be like the mind of Christ. A Christian is one who is always hungering and thirsting. A Christian is one who is also always being satisfied. It's this weird paradox where we're always hungering and thirsting, but we're always being satisfied as we come to Jesus. Are you being satisfied? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves because we're always hungering and thirsting after something. The problem isn't that God is not being faithful. The problem isn't that God is not being good. But the question is, are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness? If you're wanting to live a satisfied life each day, it's not about what you're going to get or what you're going to earn or do 5-10 years from now, but today, are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? I think some of the questions that we need to ask ourselves are questions like, are you trying to live off of some sort of spiritual experience from the past? Last week's sermon, maybe. Maybe even a year ago. A book that you read a while ago. Is that how we're living each day? Are we hungering and thirsting for something else? Do we have a sense of self-satisfaction over our self-righteousness? Is there a complacency there? Or are we hungering and thirsting after righteousness, hungering and thirsting after the satisfaction that Jesus provides? These are hard questions, but for a Christian, a question that we have to ask ourselves every single day. How I need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. What might this look like? What might this practically look like for us to hunger and thirst after righteousness every single day? Something to consider. Are you avoiding things that dull or kill your appetite for righteousness? If we're supposed to hunger and thirst after righteousness with a sense of desperation because we're hungry, we're thirsty, we need it. Are we dulling our appetite for it? Are we killing our appetite for it by turning to other things? And an easy example to think about is if you have this expensive steak dinner, this expensive sushi place that you want to check out, do you gorge yourself with ice cream or snacks and cookies before you go to eat dinner? No. You want to save your appetite for that great meal when you get to that restaurant, when you go there. You want to fully enjoy what you're going to later eat, the main course. Something for us to consider is, are we dulling and killing our appetite with other things? Are we just almost listlessly or even aimlessly just kind of filling our minds and our lives with things that work against this hunger and thirst for righteousness? I think something even for myself that I can easily struggle with is screen time. I mean, even for Pastor Andy and I, when we talk, we're just realizing, man, there's so much screen time in our lives, whether it's before work, whether it's at work in the bathroom, whether it's when we come home. We're always in front of the screen. And given there are ways that we can take advantage of technology, but are there things that are dulling and killing our appetite to read God's word? Is it dulling and killing our appetite for these greater things that God gives us even through his word? Something else to consider if you think about practically hungering and thirsting after righteousness is, are you hearing about it more and more? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing the pursuit of it more and more? And this speaks to even our commitment to Sunday worship. It speaks to our commitment to hearing even sermons throughout the week, reading more things. Are we exposing ourselves to it? Are we seeing other people and surrounding ourselves in a community where we see other people hungering and thirsting after righteousness? I mean, you think about foods like In-N-Out or other things that are very delicious, really good. It helps when you hear other people talk about it. When you see someone else eat it, it makes you want to eat it really bad. Are we exposing ourselves by hearing it, by seeing it in other people? Are we reading about it? If we think about what God requires, how do we know what God requires? It's not just listening to a voice in our head. It's not just primarily depending on our conscience, but no, God's word reveals what God requires. Are we exposing ourselves to God's word? I think it's so important. It's wonderful that our theme this past year has been setting our minds, our hearts on God's word. And us even trying to read the Bible, even together as a church. The reason why is because we're trying to expose, we're trying to get in and find out what it means to obey God and please God as we strive to follow God. And I think something that I want to also press home and have you consider is, are you seeking and striving to obey today what is obvious? Again, I think we sometimes write off obedience as something that, that only non-Christians do to try to earn salvation. But no, even as Christians, where is even the topic, the call to obedience, where is that in your life? Is that something that you've brushed under the rug and said, oh, it's all grace in the gospel? But no, even as Christians, as those who follow Christ, do we realize that obedience, it's something that we do in response to the gospel as a demonstration of love? Is it just an afterthought? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we need to make it a priority. We need to make it a priority. And we always make time for things that are important. We always make time for things that we think have priority. We need a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus says this is something that defines his people. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This isn't only in church. This is at home. Whether it has to do with your parents, your siblings, your spouse, your children. Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness at home? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness at work? With your coworkers, with your supervisors, with those even below you? Are you hungering and thirsting after righteousness wherever you are in life? Martin Lloyd-Jones, he's a British pastor, writer, and he says this about the Beatitudes in general, but specifically even concerning what we've heard today in verse 6. He says, we put happiness and blessedness as the one thing that we desire, and I think we'll agree. We want blessedness. We want happiness. And thus, we always miss it. It always eludes us. According to the scriptures, happiness is never something that should be sought directly. It's always something that results from seeking something else. Blessedness, happiness, it's never something that you find when you seek for it directly. It's always a product. It's always something that results from seeking something else. Friends, don't live each day, your lives, hungering and thirsting for things that don't satisfy. Hungering and thirsting after things that only the world has to offer. But take to heart what Jesus says here in the Beatitudes. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be satisfied. You will be satisfied. Believe that. And won't you come to Jesus and be filled? Let's pray. Father, you know us so intimately. You know us so well. And you know, Lord God, that we hunger and thirst for all sorts of things. Lord God, we pray that, Lord, that we would be people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, that we would be people that live each day despite the circumstances, that we would see ourselves as blessed, that we would see ourselves as those receiving and being satisfied by you. Lord God, help us through your Spirit to not only receive and accept the gospel, but to respond to it through obedience. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.